Well, this morning we open our Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 18. We hear from the prophet Jeremiah this morning. This is God's calling for Jeremiah to go down to the potter's house and to witness what is going on there, and it's an illustration of a message he's giving to Jeremiah regarding the nation of Israel. Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 through 11. Hear now the word of the Lord. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, "Can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel. If at any time I announce that a nation or a kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation I warned repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned." Verse 9. "And if at another time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be built up and planted, and if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I had intended to do for it. Now, therefore, say to the people of Judah and those living in Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says. Look, I am preparing a disaster for you and devising a plan against you. So turn from your evil ways, each one of you, and reform your ways and your actions." This is the word of the Lord for us. Thanks be to God. Well, I had a birthday this week, and birthdays are good times to stop and consider and think about life. Where have you been and what you've been doing and where you are in life, what got you there, and maybe to celebrate where you are or lament and cry about where you are at this point in life. But when I thought about the years gone by and the many places I've been and the different kinds of work that I've done, the people I've met and worked with, I can see God's blessings in my life, God's hand shaping and forming and directing me, and sometimes in surprising ways. I didn't always plan it, ways that I didn't plan myself, but the different types of jobs I've had, the places I've lived, the relationships I've been in, they all had a formative effect on me. In other words, they shaped me into who I am today, right? They're a part of that. One way to look at it, I guess, is to chalk it all up as chance and happenstance. But when I look back, I see God at work. When I look back, I even see how those bad things, those sad things, the mistakes, even the failures I've had, I see how God has used even those things to form me and shape me, and they're part of my story and telling for who I am today. Still not perfect, of course, and I don't know about you, but when I look back, I can see God as the author of my story, guiding and directing events and opportunities to fit who I am as a person and who I am as the person that God is calling me to be, according to God's plans and purposes. And the funny thing is, the journey is more dynamic than linear, meaning I used to think of God preparing me for something far off into the future, but even when I was in high school, God was using me then. And when I was in the military, when I was in college and different points in life, as I look back, I'm like, you know, God was using me back then. And he wanted to use me maybe more back then. But my mind was so far in the future that sometime in the future, God will use me when I'm ready, you know, when I'm perfect. But no, life was more dynamic as I look back and see than linear, that God is preparing me all this time. And that I'm not kind of useless until I get to that point. No, you're not useless until you get to a certain point. God is using you at each step of the journey. Through it all, God's hand is present, directing and shaping us and using us just as we are. Now, there have been times when I've resisted the changes that were needed in my life, and I've complained and hardened myself against the dynamic flow of the Spirit of God in my life. And even then, it is as if God has said sometimes something like, I'm going to collapse some things around you right now. I'm going to take some things away. I'm going to put you aside for a while. I'm going to turn up the heat for a little while in your life, or cool you down for a while. There are times when I'm going to push and pull, God says. I'm going to apply pressure, thin you out, get your attention. And every time, God has shaped me, not just for some use or purpose, like I said, far into the future, but for a purpose in the moment, dynamically, in the present. Even now, as I or we allow God to form and shape us and direct our paths, He's using us as imperfect as we are right now. He'll form and reform us into whatever shape He needs. And He does this frequently throughout life because I'm not a cup forever, right? I don't remain a plate or a vase, to use the pottery image, forever. God has the ability to break us down and reform us again and again. See, God's in the business of always reforming us for His purposes, for His glory. So pottery and the making of pottery is a very common image for the ancient nation of Israel, a common illustration. And as often happened with the prophets of Israel, Jeremiah is asked to act out this illustration, this visual aid for the people of Israel, so that they would get the spiritual point that God is trying to make. The word that came to Jeremiah in chapter 18, verse 2, it says, "Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message." It's a parable in motion. It's a spiritual lesson in motion. And Jeremiah had to go and pause and take a look and reflect on the meaning of this visual message for the nation. See, God's not just into individual or personal forming and reforming of our lives, but into nation shaping as well, especially the nation of Israel. And it's my prayer, of course, that we too would reflect on this message of the Lord for our lives today. What does God shaping and reforming of pottery have to say about our lives? And how open maybe we are to being reshaped, reformed by God, or how hardened we are that God is never going to change me, you know. But first, let's go down to the potter's house. We take a close look at what Jeremiah has to say in chapter 18. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. God has something to say, a message to give, a lesson to teach to His chosen covenant people of Israel. Notice this isn't just to everybody, anybody in particular. I mean, anybody in general. It's to people in particular. It's to His chosen covenant people. So Jeremiah went down to the potter's house, or a workshop, if you will, and there he saw the potter working at the wheel. And Jeremiah notices something. It's something maybe you would notice, too, if you have ever watched a potter at his wheel. Jeremiah notices that the pot that he was shaping from the clay, verse 4, was marred in his hand. It was marred or ruined, actually, the Hebrew word there for it. It was the clay that had the problem, though, not the skill of the potter. And maybe you've seen that happen, too, when you've observed the potter at the wheel shaping or forming something out of clay, where the pot becomes lopsided or flops over or becomes hard, or a chunk of dry, hard clay gets mixed in there somehow, and it causes this deep gash or groove in the vessel as it spins on the wheel, and so the pot becomes marred. It's marred in Jeremiah's eyes. So the potter formed it, verse 4 continues, into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. He clumped it back into a ball or disc or whatever it is in order to reform it again. And of course, the clay doesn't have anything to say about this matter or what the potter chooses to do with it. make it into a cooking pot, a toy, or a pretty vase that goes on the end table in the living room. The potter has the freedom and the sovereign choice to make that clay into whatever he wants or intends to do with it. He doesn't even have to ask the permission of the clay or say anything to the clay and explain to the clay exactly what he's going to do before he does it. The potter doesn't have to do that. No informed consent here. And that's probably why maybe this passage would be hard to hear for folks in our culture and our times. It would rub people the wrong way. There's no autonomous personal self-identification here. No, you are identified as the potter identifies you, right? And forms you to be. You and I are created beings. We don't get to create ourselves into whatever we want to. You see, the potter knows what potential any particular lump of clay has, the pros and cons, the elements, the strengths and weaknesses, and the potter has the right to, the freedom to form and reform that clay into whatever he or she wants it to be. And each one of those clumps of clay has those unique qualities, and the potter knows them well. That is, as long as the clay remains wet, it has the right amount of moisture to it to make it malleable in the potter's hands. If the clay gives up and becomes dry and hard, then the only thing left is for it to be crumbled up and thrown out into the street as gravel. So now, let's consider how God interprets this parable in motion, this visual aid for Israel, and then we'll want to apply it to our lives too. And how would we apply this to our lives? Then the word of the Lord came to me, Jeremiah says, beginning in verse 5. He said, "Can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel." Like clay in the hand of the potter, that's you. God can shape and form you into whatever he wants, and if he finds you marred or ruined in some way, he can start over with you. Can reshape you, reform you into something else altogether. It sounds a lot like what God did to rebellious Israel after he led them out of Egypt, like clay in the hand of the potter. In verses 7 and 8, it says, "If at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation I warned repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned." Well, maybe the clay does have something to say after all. God is asserting his sovereign right and freedom to form the clay however he wants to, but he uses that word relent. Relent. He will let up on the severe punishment he had planned if a nation repents and turns from its ways and turns back to God. In other words, the fate of rebellious Israel is not set in stone. There's still time. There's still time to repent. There's still time to turn back to God. You see, Jeremiah has been announcing a harsh judgment upon Israel because of her rebelliousness and worshiping of these false gods. It's been Jeremiah's dirty job for a long time now to give this dire message to Israel. Repent or perish. Repent or perish. Ever read Jeremiah from beginning to end? I did as part of my devotions last winter. It was a long winter. It was a long winter. A lot of judgment there. Israel has rejected God's covenant, though, at this point in history, and they've been following the ways of the world and the surrounding nations, including worshiping these false gods. And they're about to fall into the hands of the Babylonians. And Jeremiah making it abundantly clear that he's making it clear for generations now in the future exactly why Jerusalem fell, why the temple was destroyed, and why so many Israelites were taken out and taken into exile into Babylon. It wasn't because God the potter was unfaithful to his promises, or that he wasn't powerful enough to do something about it or protect them. It was because God's people, the clay, had fallen away from God and God's ways. They had become marred. And they had walked away from God and therefore removed themselves from God's protection. Judgment is coming, and its name is Babylon. But do you see the grace here? Do you see the grace in this passage? Here, God uses that word relent Though the armies of Babylon are amassing on the border, the fate of Israel is not determined yet. In other words, there's still time. There's time to confess their sins, to acknowledge their estrangement from God and their rebelliousness against God's word. Repent and turn back to God and God's ways. Not just turn back in their thoughts, not just turn back in their feelings, but turn back in their behaviors, their actions, to turn back to following God. There's still time. In verse 11, God says, "Look, I'm preparing a disaster for you and devising a plan against you. So turn from your evil ways, each one of you." Not just the leaders, not just the council, not the whole nation in general, each one of you, each one of you. Turn from your evil ways, each one of you, and reform your ways and your actions. Your ways and your actions, not just your heart, not just your feelings. It's in chapter 19 where Jeremiah takes an actual finished pot down to the potsherd gate in the valley of Ben-Hinnom, and there he smashes the pot in front of the people as a further illustration of the disaster that's about to come. The nation-shaping potter God has the freedom and the sovereignty to relent from planning from his planned punishment, though. In his sovereignty, he has given the clay of his people a say, an opportunity to avoid their destruction through repentance, turning away from sin, a malleable heart toward the movement of God's Spirit, willingness to change, to be vulnerable, to be open to the challenge of God. This God will respond to and relent. If only they would take God up on this opportunity. If only they would hear the word of the Lord and humble themselves and respond in faith and obedience and repentance. If only they would be willing to change their ways and follow God once more. They don't need to give up and surrender to the impending judgment and become stone-hearted. God is able and willing to reform them, to reshape them into something else if they would remain open to the work of God in their lives. But God also makes it clear in verses 9 and 10, saying that if at another time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be built up and planted, and if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider. He uses the word reconsider. I will reconsider the good I had intended for it. The God who does not change in character is both willing to relent and to reconsider things according to the behavior and the decisions of his people. Isn't that interesting? Therefore, soak and sour in your identity as God's chosen people and think that, oh, I can do whatever I want, live however I want to, I'm one of God's people, and think there's no consequences. God is willing to reconsider the good he's planned if his people do evil and don't obey him. And God is willing to relent from the punishment he's planned if his people repent. The nations of the world are like clay in the hands of the potter God. God is sovereign. He's able to do as he pleases with the nations of the world, just as in his sovereignty, he's willing and able to do as he pleases with our own lives. So my question this morning is, are you open? Are you open to the forming hand of God in your life? Confession, repentance of sin keep us soft and malleable, vulnerable, open to God's word in our lives and God's work of reforming and reshaping. Go down to the potter's house. Take a look. What do you see? It's a lump of clay, broken down, reformed, broken down, formed again, tweaked over time. Well, as we step back and we look at the full of Scripture, we see that others have gone down to the potter's house too, and other places in Scripture. And maybe you've picked that up before, the imagery, the image of pottery in other places of Scripture too, like the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans. He goes down to the potter's house. In Romans 9 through 11, Paul writes of God's sovereign plan to call the Gentiles, the people of the nations, the non-Jews, to salvation through Jesus Christ. Paul says in Romans 9:18, "Therefore, God has mercy on whom he wants to have mercy, and he hardens whom he wants to harden. Shall what is formed, he continues in verse 20, shall what is formed say to the one who formed it, why did you make me like this? Does not the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay some pottery for special purposes and some for common use? God can and does open up ways of change and transformation and grace, even in the midst of sin, rebellion, and through pain and suffering that we experience in this life. But it is not God who resists change, it's people that do. We resist being changed and shaped by God or reformed by God. Also in 2 Corinthians 4:7, Paul says, we have this treasure in clay jars, that it may be clear that that extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We have this treasure in clay jars so that it may be clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. What is this extraordinary power? Well, it's the gospel, of course, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those fragile clay jars, earthen vessels, as some of your translations call it, to which Paul refers, they make up the congregation. It's talking about the church of God. Somehow through the church's earthy work, like ministry and life together and service to the world, and through all of this, God is revealed, is being revealed to the world. The clay jars of God's people in the church are very imperfect and fragile and vulnerable and full of cracks and misshapen and lopsided. But somehow within her, within each one of us, there's a treasure, the treasure of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And somehow, through the church, through each one of us, the gospel is carried out to the world. There's a power at work in and through the church of Christ that is supernatural and otherworldly. And it's nothing less than the almighty power of God working through the love and grace of his Son, Jesus Christ, to transform lives and communities all over the world, including our own lives and our own communities. So how are you like clay in the hands of the potter? Have you become hard, dry, unable to be reformed into a different use, a different purpose? Have you hardened your heart against God? God, you're not going to change me. Or are you malleable? Are you flexible? Are you open to changing your ways, to repent from sin and evil, and instead turn toward God and God's ways in your actions and your behavior and your lifestyles? The offer of God to relent from the coming destruction and wrath is open in Jesus Christ. Will you take the opportunity today to believe, to trust? For some of us, we're going through change all the time. Family is changing, schools have changed, the job situation has changed, maybe our health is changing. But I wonder, are we still able to allow God to shape and mold us and reform our lives, our thoughts and our attitudes and our behaviors, no matter what's going on right now? Do we know that God wants to use you right where you are in whatever situation you're in right now, as imperfect as it is, as broken as it looks, with cracks and all? God has greater plans to prosper and to heal us. Go down to the potter's house. There, I'll have a message for you. Maybe God has a message for you today through his word and spirit. Is it a message to repent, to trust your life into the hands of the potter? To remain flexible? To become a vessel of God no matter what you're going through today? No matter what kind of vessel God wants to use you? Maybe in the midst of the turbulence of our nation or that in our personal lives, the message is to put our complete hope and trust in God, the God of the nations, versus any particular candidate for political office. Or putting our hope and trust in any twinge of emotion that comes our way, because we're called to follow God, not follow our hearts, not follow the emotions that come and go all the time. Follow God. Follow what God says. Cracked pots, that's what we are, all of us. Cracked, broken, misshapen clay pots. The analogy isn't perfect, but if we could remain soft and malleable, vulnerable, teachable, pliable, God will continue to reshape us and reform us and restore us throughout our lives, no matter what age we're at, no No matter who we are, no matter what we've been through or what kind of brokenness we're experiencing right now. And even though not perfect, God will continue by his grace to allow us to carry that precious treasure of the gospel of Jesus Christ through his church as we're on mission together in this world. And as, may we keep in mind that we do this by faith, that God is in the habit of replacing stone hearts with hearts of flesh. And he's doing it all the time. He's doing it all the time. And so as long as there's life, as long as there are birthdays to be had, there's still time. There's still time for change. There's still time to be transformed and reformed by God. Praise be to God. And let's pray. God of change and transformation, we come to you with all of our stress and all of the uncertainty of today and this week and all of the baggage that we brought in here this morning. Lord, some of us have been fighting you. We've been resisting your plans and movements in our lives for change. Lord, help us to trust. Help us to believe. Some of us have been actively doing the opposite of what you have revealed to be your will for our lives, and we know it, Lord. Convict us by your Holy Spirit. Some of us have even hardened our hearts and given up on even the possibility of change. Lord, replace our stone hearts with hearts of flesh. Help us to remain pliable in your hands, O God, and so be shaped into the people and the church you have called us to become. Lord, that does require trust. Help us to trust you. Help us to learn to trust and love one another too. Forgive our resistance and set us free to believe today. And through our lives and your church, may you receive all of the glory, honor, and praise. For it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen.